Psalms 122. This is Thanksgiving week, and I'm going to thank God for something very specific this morning and use the Bible to show us how important this is. The name of the message is Thank God for Church. Thank God for Church. I don't know about you, but I like church. I have several men every Sunday morning, and I appreciate this. These are other preachers that choose to do this. And I probably get on Sunday morning anywhere from 5 to sometimes 15, depending on who gets involved with it. But they'll just randomly text me on a Sunday morning and say, "Preacher, I'm praying for you, especially this morning. Pray that you have great services." And so every one of them that sent me a text telling me they were praying for me, I sent the same thing back to them this morning. I said, "I appreciate that." And then I put this in capital letters. I love church. I love church. In Psalms 122, let's begin in verse number 1. Let's stand if you're able to, for the reading of the Bible. Psalms 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem." Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless, Lord, the preaching of the Bible. And Lord, I pray, dear God, as we pick a very specific subject this morning to thank you for, I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be warmed and we would be reminded of the importance of the church. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I appreciate the church. I appreciate the freedom that we have in our country to be able to attend church. David said this, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." That word glad, if you look it up, it means to brighten up. It means to be gleesome, to cheer up, to be made glad, joyful, to make merry, to cause one to rejoice. You know what that means? That means the closer he got to the day that he assembled with his brothers and sisters in the house of the Lord, every day he got a little closer, he got a little more excited. Every day he got a little closer to church time, he brightened up a little bit. When he thought and counted down the days to Sunday and thought about when he would one more time be able to assemble together, he got gleesome. It cheered him up. It made him joyful. It made him want to make merry. It caused him to rejoice. Folks, I want to have that attitude towards the assembly. I want to have that kind of a biblical view of the church. Say, "Preacher, why did David get so happy and glad about church?" Well, David happily anticipated going to the house of the Lord. He said, "I was glad when they said unto me." So David experienced a wonderful, think about this, flood of happiness at the mere mention of going to worship. Folks, I want that. Be careful that you don't get a negative attitude or a neutral attitude when it comes to church time. Well, we go to church because we're supposed to. And so I'm getting ready to go do my duty. And come on, it ought to be more exciting than that in your life, okay? Or God forbid we get to the point, come on, young people, where I have to go to church. No, I don't have to go to church. I get to go to church. I'm excited to go to church. Think about that. That word glad, such a powerful word. And the mere mention of going to church created in David a wonderful and positive emotion. No matter how tough his week had been, the prospect of going to the house of the Lord changed his heart from bad to glad. You know what? Assembling together on the Lord's day, it kind of pushed a divine reset button in his soul. Think about this. His reborn spirit sprang up at the prospect. His heart counted down the days. His mind anticipated the event. His mood brightened, his pulse quickened. Come on, folks, let's get back to being glad about coming to church. A smile played at the corner of his mouth when he thought about church. Soon I will go, soon I will gather, soon I will stand in my place in the house of the Lord. So David happily anticipated going to the house of the Lord. David was glad to go to the house of the Lord. If you look at that verse, let us go. So I was glad when they said unto me, that's the anticipation. But David was glad to go. And I want to say this, remind you folks, if you're going to go to church, you have to go to church. If you're going to go to church, you have to go to church. You know what? Part of church attendance is attending. Boy, this is deep stuff, amen. Staying home is not going. Isolation is not gathering. Scattered in opposite directions of the assembly does not make it church. Staying home, come on, and watching on TV or on your computer, on your phone, is not going to church. He said, let us go into the house of the Lord. I'll be honest with you, I don't think if it was COVID, COVID kind of forced me to put our services online. And I remember meeting with the men and telling them, don't get too excited about this, us being online, because I'll probably pull the plug as soon as it's over. You say, preacher, why did you have that attitude? Honestly, because I didn't want people getting in the habit of thinking it's okay to sit at home and watch a church service and then feel okay about going to church. The very word church means assembly. And you know, we need to assemble together. And we haven't had that reaction. We haven't had, I think, an epidemic of people staying at home and not attending and thinking it's okay. But if we ever do, I think I will pull the plug on it, because we need to go to the house of the Lord. Preacher, why do you leave it on there? I'll be honest with you, when I got to the other side of it, I wanted to pull the plug. We do have, come on, some shut-in folks that health-wise cannot attend. And they said, preacher, it's been such a blessing. We have young people across this country that's scattered out in full-time service, or people that used to attend here that no longer do, that as soon as we went online, they were texting me, thank you, preacher. We get a sneak in the service every once in a while. We miss our home church every once in a while. Ah, what do I do? Now I want to be hard-nosed and just pull the plug, you know. I go almost everywhere I go out, folks. Me and my wife this last year was in Alaska, and we had two families come to us in Alaska and say, Pastor Ross, listen, you know what? Every single service that you post online, our family sits down and watches. And I'm going, okay, I guess we're stuck with this thing, all right? But folks, listen to me. Let's remember that David said, I was glad when they said, let us go, okay? Part of church attendance is attending. David said this, his happiness kicked in, his cheerfulness blossomed, his heart was made merry, because there was something to get ready for. Listen, there was a trip to take, a journey to a sacred and divine location, a gathering from all directions, a leaving behind the house and the world, and an arriving at the house set aside to worship the Lord. Folks, I was just, and I shared this, and our Sunday school class is going to hear it again, but I think I'd love for all of us to be able to hear it. I know many of you aren't in the our auditorium class. And I feel sorry, honestly, for those of you that have to attend the young adult class. It's second rate, and it's just never going to be what you would get in here. But hey, you know, we try to make up for it with donuts, okay? And so, you know, at least you got that going for you. But anyway, isn't that a blessing? Turning point. Yeah, that was a turning point, all right. I don't know which way they turned, but anyway, I got a picture in front of me. I want to share this with you, and we've had a little fun, but I want to share this with you because, and again, folks, we have missionaries, and I got to be very careful what I say because we're online. We have missionaries that minister into parts of the world that are very difficult, and they have to kind of fly under the radar. There are certain missionaries, especially those that are in the Middle East, that we don't post their letters and we don't mention their names, and we can't do it. And one of our missionaries in this type of a location, a predominantly Muslim country, he sent a picture to me, and he's gathered together in assembly, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 men. And you know what? they meet together and they read the Bible and they sing songs just like we do, and they pray just like we do. And then one of three men get up. There's three of them that kind of oversee this. One of three men get up and they open the Bible, and he wrote this. Let me see if I can get this where I can read it here. He said, in this picture on either side, the man in the white shirt's name is Mohammed, a.k.a. John. They call him John now. You know why? Because he got saved. Amen. Amen. Black shirt, the guy in the black shirt, our new friend, also named Mohammed, he hasn't yet proclaimed his Christian name. And so he's received Christ, but he hasn't yet selected a Christian name. Now think about this. The one young man named Mohammed, he came to Christ. And you know what they do once they convert to Christ? They choose a Bible name or a Christian name to let the world know that they are no longer followers of Muhammad. Now think about that. The second one hasn't yet proclaimed his Christian name. Well, there ought to be a sermon in there for all of us. Have you proclaimed your Christian name? I mean, think of what these people do, folks. This is amazing. He came for the first time 2 weeks ago. He took a Bible and was searching, and he's been praying to Jesus. He has since had a meeting with my contact here, the man who kind of oversees it, and confirmed his faith by receiving Jesus Christ as his Savior. He has returned to this meeting twice now. And so I'm reading this, and I'm seeing this picture. And by the way, I mentioned he sends this through kind of an encrypted program, an app that's even protected, so he can converse with some of the pastors back here in the States. And so I asked the missionary a couple questions. I said, educate me a bit. Do the local authorities or even the neighbors around know that you're having this meeting? If not, if they knew it, would they allow it? Praising the Lord for what God's doing, just curious what the reaction would be if they knew you were meeting and having Bible studies. And he said, negative, no one knows unless we have an informant in the mix. I'm going to stop and explain that. He's told me in times past that some of these meetings, that house meetings that have gotten going, that sometimes an informant will come in, somebody who pretends to convert to Christ. They'll stay there. They'll get to meet the men. They'll get their names. They'll report it to the authorities. And then at the next meeting or a few meetings down, they'll come in and beat these men and arrest these men. And it's usually they'll take what they think is the ringleaders and take them to jail for a time. And they shut these things down. Folks, look around. Come on. We ought to be thankful for church. Even America, with all of its problems, we're not doing this. Think about that. So negative, no one knows unless we have an informant in the mix. The landlord knows, but is blinded by money. I wonder almost every week how long this meeting will last without us being turned in. I go in after dark, stay as low profile as possible. Churches are allowed to exist here as a picture of tolerance. House meetings are frowned upon because they are unregulated. If someone decided to turn us in, it could go south real quick. If something like that happens and we get reported, we will take that as it comes. This meeting is not my meeting. I went as a guest and have since been invited to be a regular part. Three men cover the services here. I am only one of them. And so him and two others are always prepared to bring the word of God and to conduct this message. By the way, I sent him the verse in Revelation, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And I wrote this, those from every nation. These men will be in heaven one day marching in beside you, my friend. You bring in the glory and honor of their nation. It's incredible. That helps me to know how to pray. He said, amen, amen. What a day that will be. There are many struggles here. When we find a place of victory, it is a great blessing. Glory to God. And then I want to read this. He said, thank you and thank your church, my brothers, for your prayers and support. We could not be here without you all. Well, God could get us here any way he chooses, but I'm sure glad that he has used you to help further the gospel in this dark land. Folks, I don't know about you, but that's a blessing to me. That challenged me. I sat there and looked at that picture. I read those words. And think about this. Coming to church every single time wondering if this is the day that somebody finds out or somebody's turned to sin. Or the landlord decides he's not getting enough money and he just decides to turn us in. Or one of these new converts that we thought was a brother in Christ all of a sudden turns Judas Iscariot and turns us in. And yet, you know what? They said, if that happens, we will take it as it comes. You know why? Because assembling is important. Going to church is important. And people are doing it across this world, folks, in a way that we can't even imagine. I don't know about you, but when I read that, I thought to myself, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. David happily anticipated going to the house of the Lord. It ought to be the highlight of every week. We ought to think about it all week long. David was glad to go to the house of the Lord. Let's not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. David was glad to go to his house of the Lord. Now, folks, think about that. David was very specific when he referred to the house of the Lord. This was not the synagogue in Bethlehem. This was not the synagogue in Jericho or Samaria or Bethany or Hebron. This was David's house of worship in David's city. This was not just any house of God. This was the place God had put David. You know, folks, I've got a chance to attend churches across our nation. You know, I mean this, the Lord's blessed. He's opened doors since about the time I entered my 30s to now. I've been invited to preach, and every year I go somewhere. I've attended church, preached in 38 states, 3 foreign countries. By the way, I've been in some wonderful churches. Hey, they're out there, folks. People are still out there. Some vibrant churches, some average churches. I've even preached in a few dead churches. But there's only one church that's my local New Testament church. Come on, folks. There's only one church that I call my home church. And, you know, folks, it's a blessing to have a home church. There's only one church that's God's will for me and my family. Blessed is the family that goes to church, but more blessed is the family that understands what it is to have a church home. David anticipated church. The very thought of going stirred up strong in sacred emotions. Going to church brought sunshine and gladness to his heart. But David just wasn't going anywhere. He was going to the house of the Lord. That was God's choice and God's will for his life. And folks, I think you all have been there and you've experienced this along with me. You're on a trip. Amen. You know what? You can't come here. Make sure you go somewhere. But there's just something about coming back home. There's something about having a home church. By the way, let's not forget what they done. They determined. By the way, I want to say this. You know, I want to just remind us. And I don't want to go back to the dark times, but sometimes we need to look back to reaffirm what we're going to do in the future. During the 2020 scamdemic, I stole that from Brian. He called it that the other day. I used to say plandemic, and he's using scamdemic. I kind of like scamdemic better. You know what, folks? Mere mortal men issued executive orders forbidding this congregation from gathering as a church family. By the way, let's not forget that. It never happened before. I tell folks, you know what? I guarantee you, and I think most preachers will say this, I don't think I got it all right. We'd never faced anything like it. But folks, I'm going to learn from it. I'm going to learn from it. Think about this. You know, men issued executive orders telling this congregation we could not gather as a church family in our home church. Church services were deemed by the state non-essential. Think about that. What was so appalling was that these decisions were made in large by politicians who do not regularly and faithfully attend church. So what's a big deal to them? I said regularly and faithfully. They do not experience what we do weekly. They do not have a strong connection or strong attachment to a house of worship. By the way, I didn't say they never attended, but folks, there's a difference between making occasional appearances at church and having one's life attached to and revolve around the house of the Lord. I guess I want to just stand up here and say to all of us, let's not forget what they did. And by the way, Let's determine to never let it happen again. The world has no idea how much church means to born-again Christians. In various proclamations issued by our state government, the church has been described as a social gathering in some of their orders, an in-person event, and worst of all, a non-essential gathering. I'm reminding us of this. We need to hear it. Because you don't think they're going to try it again at some point? When the Church of Jesus Christ is listed on par with stores and shops and restaurants and taverns, then our country has hit a frightening level of spiritual ignorance. The powers that be do not and cannot understand the joy and happiness that going to church produces in our heart. Folks, when we finally got back into having church, and by the way, we met as men every Tuesday night during that. You say, should you have? No, I think we should have met more often than that. But we met every Tuesday night. And I wanted to listen to our men. And I wanted to kind of help them to guide me as I'm trying to guide the church. And finally, I walked in here one night. And once we kind of saw what this was and said, guys, listen, I'm to the point I don't care what the governor says. I don't care what the president says. I think I need to care what God says. Let's have church. Let's have church. And we just opened it up the next Sunday. A few weeks later, they decided to give us permission. But you know what? Since when is the state the one that's supposed to give us permission to have church? Think about that. I'm glad. But listen, after not being in church all that time, I walked up the pulpit first Sunday morning. We had church. And I thought to myself, this is what I thought. I thought, well, we'll just tell our church folks we're going to have it. And there's three ways you can see it. You can come in, you can still watch online, or you can sit out in the parking lot and beep your horn instead of saying amen. You know, and I thought maybe we'll get 30% back. And we had all of these things where you're not supposed to sit by anybody except family members. And you're supposed to leave a pew between and all this. So I thought we'll probably have 30% come back. As soon as I said we're going to have church, everybody came back. Everybody came back. I remember getting up here and looking out, and I said, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. You're not supposed to sit by anybody but family, but praise God, I guess you're okay, because we were filled up. We were filled up. You know why? Because inside all of us, something was missing. And I walked up to this pulpit, and I read the verse that I read to you this morning, and then I sat here and wept. You know what? Because church means something. Hey, let's be thankful for church. Let's not forget that there's people that are risking their lives to assemble and sing and read the Bible together and have somebody stand up and preach Jesus to them. Folks, there's people that have to change their name. Don't think that that doesn't affect their relationships and their family and put them in danger. You know what? What are we really sacrificing here in America to go to church, and yet we use almost every little excuse that comes up? Anything that's a little inconvenient for us, shame on us. Hey, I want to say that in 2025, come on, folks, we're just a month or two away. I think it's time we just rededicate ourselves to going to church, to being in church. Stop letting every little excuse in the world. You know what? You can figure out a way to get to Walmart. You can figure out a way to get to whatever you want to go to. Figure out a way to go to an auction. You can figure out a way to go to a yard sale. You can figure out a way to get to church. Figure out a way to get to church. And our people that are enabled because of health, that are staying at home listening, you understand, your pastor understands that. But folks, listen to me. I don't know about you, but I think church needs to become important again. So David, he happily anticipated going to the house of the Lord. He was glad to go to the house of the Lord. He was glad to go to his house of the Lord. Preacher, what made David so glad? There's something about attending church, so many things. He said many times in this psalm, he was glad to see his spiritual family. I was glad when they said unto me, well, who is it? Let us go to the house of the Lord. We have a family, folks. We have a family, but we have a spiritual family also. Early days of our church, my mother often sang the song, the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we traveled this sod. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I like verse 2. You will notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family and these folks are so near. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. You know what? Family, David missed his family. Why was he excited about Sunday? Because Sunday was like a family reunion. Every gathering, folks, we get to come and be together with the brothers and sisters in the Lord. Now, folks, I grew up and God gave me a physical mother and I had a wonderful mother. But when I was growing up as a kid, I had my mom, but I also had church mothers. I have brothers. God's blessed me with two brothers, but I have always had church brothers. Right. Think about that. I have a sister, but I've always had church sisters. You know what? It's good to be a part of the family of God. God's blessed us with three daughters, and now we're waiting on number 13, Valentine's Day. Come on now. But God has also blessed us with church children and church grandchildren. Folks, I don't know about you, but every one of these kids, I'm glad that they're a part of my church family. I love them all like as much as I love my own. I mean it. There's nothing more exciting. Now, some of you that are visiting or you haven't been here very often, you come on a Sunday morning. You really need to come on a Sunday night. See, our kids are so rotten, we have to hide them on Sunday morning. Because good night, they'd tear the place up. They'd be flipping pews over and all kinds of things. No. But we have special services where the Word of God is preached to them and taught to their level. And I'm glad for all that. But Sunday night, we just open the gates and let them all in. And we have a good time. Parents, you're doing such a good job. I mean this. You know what? You get them fresh out of the nursery and you're trying to teach them how to sit and how to listen. And hey, that's all part of the process. We're good with that. By the way, parents, you're doing a fantastic job. I hear people all over the country say, you know, well, you can't have kids in church that 4-year-old and 5-year-old and 6-year-old. And they're no. You know what? If you got parents training kids, you can have the 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds in church. You're doing a good job. And so what would you say all that to say? You know what? We're blessed. We got church kids around here. We're blessed. We got church young men and young ladies around here, teenagers. We're blessed. We've got, you know, the single group, you know, amen. We love you. We haven't forgot about you. All right. Preacher, I'm in no man's land. Can't be with the teens anymore. They threw me out of the youth group. I can't be with the married people anymore, you know, yet. So I'm hanging out. You know, there's a site where you can rent a husband or rent a wife. And so, you know, you could just do that just to go to the young adult activities, the young couples that come to the Valentine banquet. We won't ask any questions, you know. So anyway, I don't even know if that's true. I just made that up. But, you know, not everything that pops in my head should come out of my mouth, right? Okay, no renting anybody. Okay. Wow. Or you might just look around the church here. There's some. Hey, some of you guys, if you're ever going to get married, you got to talk to a girl, okay? I'm just going to give you. The girls are fine. They're doing what they're supposed to do. They're not supposed to come and say, but you guys, you got to actually talk to somebody, all right? Man, I'm going to have a special class. I got to coach them up. Some of you stayed in the castle. Now you're in the basement, all right? It's all good to be in the castle, but at some point, get out, all right? So. We got a family here. It's dysfunctional, but we have a family. David looked at church and said, man alive, you know what? I got to go be with my church family. We laugh around a lot here, you know. Well, you know what? We're against everything. We can't go out and have any fun in the world, so we got to have fun in church. Amen. He was glad to see his spiritual family. By the way, think about this. He was glad to replay his spiritual memories. And, you know, when you go to your house of God and you're faithful to your house of God, you know what? As you spend time there. Now, at the beginning, if you start attending a church, a good church, you know, you're not going to have a lot of memories. But, you know, you stay here a year and you got church memories. Stay here 2 years, 3 years, all of a sudden you got spiritual memories. Think about that. The longer you stay, the more memories you have. And so not everybody can say we've been here for a decade or 10 years or 20 years or 30 years. Hey, you know, if around here, if you've just been here a year or so, you've got some sweet memories. Think about that. I mean, Folks, listen, we went to Rock Run Baptist Church for a while. I have memories from what God did in our life in that church. You know, we went to Trinity Baptist Church. I went to First Baptist Church up in Hammond. We started a church, Central Baptist Church. I got memories from that. Came back to Blessed Hope. You know, got memories of that. Of course, Dad starting Blessed Hope as a kid, got memories of that. You know, folks, I look around this place and it's sacred. I can go and point to different spots where I made certain decisions. I can go to certain rooms where I saw miracles and prayer meetings and answered a prayer. You know, I could go back there in the foyer and look at the stairs and picture little children, come on, in VBS with somebody sitting on a step with a Bible leading them to Jesus Christ. Part of going to church is the memories we accumulate. I was thinking about Brother AJ, you know, Tab grew up here. She's got Blessed Hope memories. He's accumulating some Blessed Hope memories. Got to thinking if, you know what, your kids are going to grow up and they've got Regency memories, but a lot of their memories are going to be Blessed Hope memories. It's okay, folks. Hey, don't throw away good memories from another church and what God did. You know, just put that on the same pile as your home church. But, you know, the one of the blessings of just being somewhere and staying somewhere is the memories that you accumulate. Think about this. This is our happy place. Church is our happy place. But, folks, sometimes it's our sad place. This is our smiling place. It's also our crying place. This is where we felt the highest highs and the lowest lows. Think about this. We have wedding memories and we have funeral memories. We have baby announcements and birthday celebrations, VBS memories. I think I've lost significant hearing loss because of Vacation Bible School. Teen rally memories, revival memories, missionary memories, salvation memories, baptism memories. Little Caleb came and asked me last Sunday if he could be baptized. And I haven't talked to you two. Can we do that next Sunday? Baptize? We'll baptize Caleb next Sunday? All right. You know what, folks? We're going to have some more memories. Think about that. Isn't that sweet? I think about record attendance days, you know, when the place was filled and tents were up and overflowing. Sometimes I remember somewhere we had such cold weather, we had, you know what, very few people here and couldn't run the buses. And we made it here, those of us that could, through the cold and snow. And you know what we did? We sat around thinking about how terrible it would be if every Sunday we didn't have the bus kids here and the bus ministry here. And we got those ministries, single-digit weather days. I've stood in this place, been so amazed that I felt like heaven had come down. I've also stood in this place, in this church, so brokenhearted, I wondered if I could get through another service. But you know what? I love that I experienced it here in my home church. I've seen great acts of kindness in this church, great acts of sacrifice. I could stand here and tell you stories that most of you don't know and don't need to know and probably shouldn't know, and I probably shouldn't tell. But I've watched people greatly sacrifice for this place. And you know what, folks? I'll be honest. I'm pretty transparent. Few times, sadly, just a few times, I've had to experience great acts of betrayal. I've watched people turn their back on Christ, turn their back on this church, say terrible things about this preacher. But you know what, folks? I'll take it all. No, I'll take it all. The good, the great, the lows, the highs, the laughter, the tears. You know why? Because this is my church. This is my church. I'm not going to let one or two Judas Iscariots get me to quit coming to my church. Amen. I'm not going to let some failures disillusion me and keep me out of church. You know, I'm not going to let the devil sit on my shoulder and tell me reasons I shouldn't be in church. David felt all these things when he entered the house of the Lord, folks. He thought about, this is my family. He thought about all of the spiritual memories. He thought about this as a place of thanksgiving. He mentions this in this psalm, thanksgiving and prayer and peace. And, you know, I sit here and think about that, the prayer meetings on Wednesday nights. These are part of my important memories. Pastor's prayer team, folks, and we had a meeting last night, and I talked to the guys, and one of the things I really dropped the ball on, and I'm not hiding behind it. If cancer or no cancer, we should have kept this going, and it was my fault. But we want to get our pastor's prayer team back going again, and our prayer partners, and we're going to start in January. We're going to get that rolling again. Something about walking in church. before church and just seeing men paired up all over the auditorium, just kind of back in the foyer, just meeting for a few minutes and just saying, let's pray and let's ask God to bless the church and bless the preaching, bless the Sunday school and bless the... There's just something sweet about it, folks. Well, I don't know about you. There's a lot of things to be thankful for. But during this Thanksgiving month, hey, let's be thankful for church. Thank God for the church. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would, Lord, reawaken some things in our heart. Help us to understand, never forget the importance of the church. A church is not man's idea. It was God's plan. Jesus spoke it into existence on the shores of Galilee. We can turn to the book of Acts and watch the church begin to gather and the power of God come upon it and the great things that were accomplished through it. Lord, thank you, dear Lord. I'm thankful for every single church out there that's preaching from the King James Holy Bible, holding up Jesus, pointing men to Christ, teaching men to live the right way. And Lord, they're all across our nation, and I'm so thankful for them. But Lord, I'm in a special way thankful for this place. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would allow this church to continue to be a lighthouse for Jesus Christ. A place where people go to get saved. A place where people come to get help. And I just pray, Lord, that we'd always point them to you. Above everything else, we'd always point them to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name.